Hey, Sister Ammon.
What?
Are you a general in God's army?
Oh, come on.
I guess that's going to come up today. Hey, how you doing? It's Brother Tupos with my, I don't know if she's a general or not. I don't think she is. In God's army. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. We want to bring you our edification audio. And we had a nice day today. I was going to call it a quiet day, but Sister Ammon just informed me, and she's right. We never really have quiet days.
I asked what quiet meant.
Unless we go to a campground somewhere and don't talk to anybody, but we never do that. We always are online or doing ministry or having gatherings or discipling people or witnessing. So we're thankful. We always have things going on.
Yeah. Amen. I love it. A big platter full of work today.
Today was a good day. We pretty much stayed in the same town. We worked online and got some things posted. I'll talk about that. We had a call with a brother and we covered some things. I'll talk about that. And then we had our regular gathering. And so it was a good day.
Oh, yeah.
A good Absolutely. Day all the way across the board.
Yeah, got some things put up online.
We're thankful for it. You did some Titus 2 things.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about some of these things. So we had a call with a brother on the other side of the world, and we covered, our time is totally different with him. He's like 8 or 10 hours different than us. We covered witnessing, and we covered biblical clothing. So it was kind of fun. We did some role playing, and I had a young brother was on with me with this elder man, and I had him ask me a question, and I told him, ask me any question, and I can take it to the gospel in 30 seconds. What did he ask, Sister Ammon? This was pretty good.
I don't have it word for word, but he was pretty quick on it, and he said, I'm seeing this light pole here and the light's kind of flickering and it's kind of annoying me and I'm wondering when they're going to fix it. It's something like that.
And I had to take it to the gospel in 30 seconds.
That's pretty good.
Did we get there?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we got there. So, so we were doing some role playing on witnessing. We also talked about how to witness to Muslims. We always like to have them challenge them. Who is Jesus? They say he's a great prophet. We say he's God. He said he was God. He said he was the son of God. The Muslims say there is no son of God. So we're going to come up with a little Muslim track for our brother because in the country he's in, a lot of Muslims there.
Oh, yeah.
So he wants to learn how to witness to Muslims. And then, because he's just learning how to biblically dress himself and we're teaching him all about the doctrines, we talked about, and this statement came up. Ready, Sister Ammon? Test the statement. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about how Christ shed blood twice to cover mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that statement?
Yes.
Yeah. And how do we get there? Well, everybody knows about Jesus' ultimate sacrifice, Matthew 26. He gives us the new covenant, his shed blood, the broken body is the bread, and his shed blood is the wine. So he gives us the Lord's Supper. Everybody knows about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But we take people back to Genesis 3. It was Christ in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same God, same Father, same Spirit, same Son. John 1 says he was the creator. Jesus said before Abraham was, I am, in John 8. It was Jesus that took an animal and killed it and made, shed blood, and made coats of skins, long shirts for Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. That's where we get that he shed blood twice to cover mankind because clothing is a sin covering, and he shed blood to give us that covering. Later, he sheds his own blood to give us the ultimate covering.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So it's a good way to help people understand the concept and why we think it's important to teach biblical clothing, along with, obviously, the blood of Christ is very important because he put it on us. He gave it to us. And he requires that we obey him. So it's a good way to tie it all together. I might do a teaching on that. And it might be another one to put in the clothing area. So
that'd be awesome.
Yeah. What's on your mind, Sister Ammon, today?
Well, I was going to share a little bit of a witnessing thing this past weekend. Not the General Army one. That one's an audio going to go up.
Well, explain that one. Why don't you explain that one? The reason I called Sister Ammon if she's a general, I didn't know this. But some lady came up to her and said, what, Sister Ammon?
Yeah, her and her husband came up. They were interesting. And she called me a general in the army. And
she said, you're a wonderful, magnificent, powerful woman of God, and you're a general in his army.
Yeah, something like that. Turns out they are quote unquote apostles that were sent to
New Apostolic Reformation types.
Yeah,
to tried to heal your ear. Did it heal?
No, I asked him if he would not do that. Yep. I was trying to be nice, but they said they came to bring the kingdom of God here, and I said, well, only Jesus can do that. And they were nice and stuff, but it was like one of these whirlwind ones. I just got done witnessing for about 10 minutes to a young woman who was like, it was an awesome witnessing thing, and I turn, and there she is starting to tell me all this stuff, and it was like...
Shows you how you have to be all different, wear all different hats out in the street.
Oh, I'm telling you, yeah. In the end, I ended up telling him, it went real fast. I was telling him that since her husband was a believer, and he was right there, I didn't know that was her husband, they would need to talk to the men, and they were really nice. They ended up leaving. But
that would be the Dominionist movement, the ones that believe we have to take over the seven spheres, the seven mountain mandates to bring heaven on earth, but that's not what Christ told us to do.
Yeah.
He said, preach the gospel.
Right, that's what I told her, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the general thing about that. Don't worry, Sister Amen is not a general in God's army because generals don't exist in God's army.
No.
Yeah, it's
no,
just a foolish man-made doctrine.
Right. Yeah, so here, I was just going to share this one with you, and then I'm going to ask Brother Tupos, hey, kind of like what we were just talking about.
Oh, so no, anyway, role play.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. So, at one point while we're out preaching the gospel, I saw this woman and she had a skirt on and she had her hair in a bun. She was maybe my age or something like that. So I could tell she might've been of some sort of religious background, the way she's smiling at me and nodding. And we kind of crossed paths and I said, hey, can I give you a gospel card? And she said something. She said, no thanks, I'm good, or something like that. And I said, did I happen to witness to you last year here? I said, you look really familiar to me. She goes, no, I don't think so. And she was smiling really, like in a really strange way. And I said, are you sure you don't want a gospel card? She goes, no, I'm good. She goes, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I said, well, let's go over the gospel first because that's the foundation. She goes, have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I said, are you Pentecostal? And she said, yes. And she said, she asked me one more time, you know how they are? They're like repetitive. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I said,
or baptized in Jesus' name.
Yeah. I said, why is it you Pentecostals always go right after that and you never start with the foundation of the gospel? And she immediately turned around and walked off.
Yeah.
Like that just shut her right down. I was asking her, you know, why did they always jump on that? So I wanted to ask you, Brother Tupos.
Oh, no.
So...
Wait, let me get my street preacher hat on. Okay, I'm always ready.
I tried to turn her to the gospel, but she turned around and walked away. Yeah. So here you go. Answer this however you want.
Yeah.
Somebody comes up and, amen, amen, brother. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? When you come out of the water, you're speaking in tongues. You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, brother.
Yeah. What I would say to somebody like that is I'd say, well, baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm not really sure what you mean by that because everybody means something different. I think you might be talking about tongues and what happened in the book of Acts. And I would say, that's a really long and deep and drawn out theological position we could get to. But before we'd ever get to that, I think we need to find out, do we even agree on what is the gospel by which God would infuse his Holy Spirit into a person? Yeah. You're kind of putting the horse or the cart before the horse. And so let's talk about the gospel. And if we find unity on how we come to the knowledge of Christ and repentance that brings us to the place where we get the Holy Spirit, maybe we could talk about what I think you're inferring about tongues and does everybody speak in tongues and all this type of thing.
So you're not going to answer my question.
Well, your question needs to be answered with the biblical gospel, because if you don't have the biblical gospel, your question doesn't even matter.
Oh, that means you probably haven't then. So I'm
and how we get baptized by the Holy Spirit is by going through the gospel. And many people are being deceived today with doctrines of demons and deceptive spirits that make them think they're baptized in the Spirit, but they're really practicing unbiblical tongues. There's mysticism. There's spirit, familiar spirits at work. So I want to make sure we go back.
Now you're telling me I'm going to hell.
Well, there's a possibility if you're not born of God and you're being deceived that you may lose your soul. I'm not telling you for sure.
Well,
I've been
baptized in the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues, and it sounds like you don't.
Yeah, well, the fruit, Jesus said, we know a tree by its fruit. The fruit of biblically speaking, speaking in tongues does not mean you're being biblical. If I look at the fruit of you right here, You're telling me before you were a Pentecostal, the Pentecostal faith isn't even born of God. It's a man-made religious system.
Have you ever been there?
And why are you here at a worldly event? And are you married, by the way?
You're not supposed to be judging people.
Are you married, by the way? Because usually Pentecostal women love to talk about doctrines and they go right over and usurp authority of their husbands.
That's Old Testament now. That was Corinthians. Yeah. They were having an issue with that. So I'm done.
At that point, when somebody talks like that, it's like they're all over the place. If they're not really interested in the gospel, you're never going to get them anywhere. I was telling the brothers today, if somebody won't listen to the word of God, the Bible says, even if you did a miracle in front of them, like raise the dead, if they won't listen to the prophets and the apostles, you're not going to convince them. They don't have prothumia, ears to hear the word of God.
Right.
So they might be signs and wonder seekers, but that doesn't mean they're going to listen to the word of God because Satan's doing signs and wonders.
Right.
And false teachers are doing lots of false signs and wonders. So don't ever let anybody take you down a rabbit trail getting around the gospel and going down all of these deep theological places until you even know, is this my brother and sister? If they're not your brother and sister, why would you be going deep in theology with them?
Right, and that's usually what they do. They do that, what they call that, and it used to play it as a child, dodgeball or something like that.
Yep.
You throw the ball, they dodge. You throw the ball at them, they dodge.
Yep.
And so they can't get hit by the ball, and that's what they try to do to people.
They keep throwing you a different rabbit trail, a different question. You need to hold their feet to the fire. Go, no, we're going to talk about the gospel. No, if you don't want to talk about the gospel, there's nothing else to talk about. You got to keep taking them back because they love to, we're just talking about, we're brothers. We have to control the conversation. If we let worldly, false religious people control the conversation, all hope is gone. You're not even going to get to the truth. We have to direct and guide the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
We believe we have the truth they need, we have to guide the conversation and get them the truth. Let them guide the conversation. What are you going to end up talking about? Worldly things, carnal things, unbiblical things, heretical things. Before you know it, you're a general in God's army.
Right.
And that's just not true.
No,
so.
No, we don't want that.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, you kind of brought it right back around here. So that man reached out. He just barely touched my ear, and he was trying to say, in Jesus' name, heal your ear. And then I think he said, I don't know if I'd have to listen to the audio again. He said something about apostles healed people, so you don't believe people can heal today.
Yeah.
And like I said, that one went bam, 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 back and forth.
Yep.
And I turned it over to the men, and because I knew they were going off where they ought not to go.
Yeah. So what's your question?
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't pose it as a question. So the apostles healed people, you don't believe people can heal today?
Yeah. It's another one that I would mostly deflect and go back and find out what the gospel is. Is this person even my brother? Do they have the fruit of being born again before we ever start talking any kind of deep doctrine? But what I would say to somebody about that is I would say the Holy Spirit is not moving the same way now as he moved in the book of Acts. And we see the miracles tailed off after the book of Acts, so much so that Paul tells Timothy to take wine for his stomach's ache. And James says, if someone's sick, anoint him with oil and call for the elders to heal him. It appeared that the powerful Holy Spirit anointing to do healing and miracles had left Paul and them after the book of Acts.
Oh, but I've seen all these miracles and healings and stuff.
Yeah.
My friend was healed. She had a broken foot and they healed it right there.
Yep. Well, Satan also does and can do and will do in the future false signs and wonders. There's also a lot of charlatans that are doing false signs and wonders.
Now.
I couldn't hear you.
You're calling her demonic?
Satan is working in the church systems to deceive people, and we know them by their fruit. If they proclaim the biblical gospel and they have fruit of holiness and obedience and they're living in sound doctrine, there's a good chance.
And they're baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Well, that all depends on what you call baptized in the Holy Spirit. But going back to the healing, Paul talked about that the apostles were marked by signs and wonders. We do not see the same signs and wonders today. In fact, if you're a Pentecostal, I'll make you an offer I make to all the Pentecostals that tell me nothing's changed from the book of Acts. Here's my phone number. Call me when you go to baptize people. I need to come and record. I want to see the tongues of fire on people's heads.
Up.
And I want to see
it, and I've seen people raised from the dead. And
I want to see the mighty rushing
Africa.
Wind go through. And I want to see these things with my own eyes because I don't believe that the Holy Spirit is moving the way he is today.
Yeah, but they do it. My friend, he's a missionary in Africa, and he does that all the time.
That's where all the miracles happen in Africa. If he doesn't have sound doctrine and he doesn't have the biblical gospel, he's not of God by his fruit. He's probably doing signs and wonders and doing deception. That will be.
Oh, so you're condemning him to hell now.
That will be part of the end times. Jesus told us the end times will be filled with false teachers and false signs and wonders, and Satan is going to have a heyday, and I think he's already getting ready and practicing that. So it all has to go back to the biblical gospel. If you're of God, you love and have the biblical gospel. If you don't, you're not of God, and you're operating in some doctrines of demons and strange things. So I can't help you unless you want to focus on the truth of God. Thy word is truth. We're sanctified by the truth. If you're not interested in truth, John 17:17, I don't think I can help you.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking as we do this, I was really, like, holding back on the responses they normally do. I would say, would you say, is this a right question? The Pentecostals might be some of the most zealous. They talk over you.
Yeah.
They talk faster. They're, you almost got to be like a machine gun with them to talk over them and get them to the point where you see, nope, they don't want the truth done.
Yeah, what you have to do is tell them, I'm not talking about anything but the gospel. And if you want to talk about anything else other than the gospel without going over the gospel, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah,
because you're just deceiving.
Yeah.
Because I can see by the fruit of your Pentecostal church, you don't have the gospel. You need to be born of the biblical gospel. You guys are all following signs and wonders and emotionalism. That's not the gospel.
Yeah, and they're really good about pick, and trying to provoke you to answer different questions. Right. And then as soon as you say one, they're on another, and another, and another. Yeah. And yeah,
that's where,
like,
you
got to
control the conversation, hold their feet to the fire, go after Pentecostalism, go over the gospel, and then say the Pentecostal faith didn't even exist until the early 1900s, and it's full of a whole bunch of corrupt heresies, so it's not rooted in God's word. It's just not there.
Right.
So, yeah, they're very rabid. There's no doubt about it. And a lot of them have
demons.
I think they have spirits. There's a lot of
spirits or something. Yeah.
Well, we know all of the strange tongue talking going on is not of God.
Yeah, especially when they belt it out right in front of you out of nowhere for no reason.
Well, what did we do? We met with a man that wanted to unite to us, and we were out street preaching, and he said, "I can speak in tongues anytime I want. Want me to do it right now for you?"
Like, what's the purpose?
And we were like, "No, that's interesting. That he can just control it like it's a tape recorder."
Yeah, like he can control the Holy Spirit or something.
So there's a lot of that strange, there's a lot of manifestations going on that we have to be aware of and watch out for.
Yeah, Ephesians 6, what's it say? We wrestle against not flesh and blood,
right,
but the spirits,
principalities,
and powers.
Yeah, so Satan's doing, again, part of the end times is going to be massive deception and false religion, and we're seeing that stage being set right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so... good job, Sister Amen.
Maybe that will help some people to understand. And once again, a quick recap. When it comes to Pentecostals, if you're not quick on your feet, if you're not very well learned, if you're not used to all this, the best thing you can do is, like Brother Tupou said, say, you know what? I'm here to help proclaim the gospel. If you're not interested in it, then I have nothing else to say. Or take a gospel card. Email later, we'll take it up there. And then end the discussion. Otherwise, if you're kind of new and not used to it, they're going to tear you down.
Yeah, the best place to go with something like that is say, you know what? I'm only here to share the gospel to people. I'm not interested in going in theological discussions in any other area. Tell you what, you can email me sometime, and I'll take it to one of my brothers and decide if we're going to take that up. But right now, I'm here to share the gospel. The gospel is the foundation. You're worried about putting up walls and a ceiling? I'm worried about the foundation today. These people here, and probably you included, need the gospel foundation, and you're going beyond that, and I'm not going there.
So that makes me think of this. Maybe have you ever, I'm trying to think, have I or us, either of us, ever witnessed a Pentecostal that actually wanted to stand there and talk more so than just about tongues or healings or miracles? They're like on this agenda when they come at you, and that's it, and they go away. I can't think of a Pentecostal that may have actually listened or had a reasonable conversation.
Pentecostals have two avenues. Generally, it's baptized in Jesus' name only, or got to have tongue talking. That's really their
that's
two main doctrines.
That's about all they stand on,
And it's kind of like the Seventh-day Adventist, Saturday Sabbath. And so, these people get these man-made platitudes, but we want to be about the Word of God and the gospel. And anybody ready? Anybody who's born of God and has the Holy Spirit in them loves to talk about the gospel.
Right.
What Christ has done for us and our response to it to find eternal life and the hope we have in it. Anybody born of God. It's like if you're married and you have children, people love to tell you about their husband or their wife and their children. Oh yeah, I have a wonderful husband and five children. And if you're born of God, you want to talk about what Christ did for you, how it changed your life.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's a good point for you to remember. If people don't want to talk about that, it's good evidence they're not born of God. And don't be going into deep theology with people that aren't born of God. They will confuse you and corrupt you.
Oh, yeah. And even if they're not born of God, if they're seekers, they'll listen and ask questions and stuff.
So oh, yeah.
That's good, too. Yeah.
Absolutely. And anybody who's seeking will seek for
they'll have some light
the
in
gospel.
Them, you'll tell. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So hopefully that helps some of the sisters out there and maybe brothers, too.
Today we worked on a preach we had to get done, and we got the Viva Muscatine preach up.
Finally.
Yeah, it was like a Mexican preach we did. And the most interesting thing happened in that one is I met an Episcopal pastor there. So you can go to that preach. It's on the witnessing videos. It'll be at the top of the edification page. You could see me in love. I was kind, biblically kind. I rebuked an Episcopal pastor that had no clue from the Word of God about the truth of God. Imagine that. He'd been a pastor for decades, and he didn't know Jesus was in the grave 3 days and three nights, nor did he know the gospel.
Oh, not really surprising.
That's
pretty
sad.
I witnessed to several people there, but they was like the real small, quick ones. But
yep.
I did get to talk to an ex-Roman Catholic woman.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then a brother witnessed to a man today while he was working in a park, and the guy brought up Ray Comfort from Living Waters Ministry. And I used to have a really good testing up of Ray Comfort, but my unbiblical teacher's blog got taken down by Blogger, the enemy of God. So I no longer have that testing. So I put up another one today. And all I did was make a 12-minute audio and just warn you about men like Ray Comfort who teach an incomplete gospel. He uses the law, but he doesn't call people out of the world to holiness and endurance. He uses all kinds of gimmicks like dogs with sunglasses and trivia contests, and he sells the things of God, and he's ecumenical with evangelicalism and John MacArthur, and he'll just about go on anybody's show. He was on the heretic Joyce Meyer's Word of Faith show. He's on TBN, Word of Faith Network. Ray Comfort is about as easy believe false convert, false gospel, incomplete gospel that creates false converts as you can imagine. He doesn't even go after and call out things like the pagan holidays, worldliness, politics, unbiblical dress, feminization. Sister Amon, why doesn't he want to go after those things? We've heard him talk about that before. Because it's too what?
It's too offensive to the world.
Too controversial.
And because he likes it. He's part of it all.
Yep. And Ray is worth $11 million. He didn't inherit it or work for that money. In the working business world, Ray made it all in ministry, apparently.
Using God's name.
Yep, so he's selling tracts, selling books, all this stuff. He's a man-pleaser. He's a compromiser. He's ecumenical. So I put up a testing to help my young brother about Ray Comfort. He is not a biblical teacher. Ray Comfort pretty much tells you, hey, have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen anything? People say, yeah. So he uses the law to make you see that you're a sinful person. And then he says, see, so you'd be guilty before God on Judgment Day, right? And people go, well, yeah, I guess I will be. Well, here's the good news. Jesus died for you. And if you'll just receive Jesus, he covers all your sin for you. And they go, oh, that sounds like a good deal. Yes, receive Jesus. And now go find a good church.
Go find a good church.
And then he leaves them in their sin, their worldliness, their false churches. He sells them things. He's a total compromised man-pleaser, which isn't surprising. He lives in California. He rides his moped around. When his dog was alive, he'd put sunglasses on it and use it to be on the internet and getting clicks and become popular. He's very popular on the internet with all kinds of people. Hey, that should be a sign to you. He's a false teacher teaching easy believism. So, yeah. Watch out for Ray Comfort. Check out our testing on Ray Comfort. We just put it up. I don't know if Sister Emma's going to have the link of that up or not, but it's under our false teachers area.
I have a question about that.
Yeah.
I always wondered, what did it mean when people would say, when we were brand new believers and we were trying to figure out all this, and then you might read something and try to test it and discern it or whatever, and everybody would say, find a good church.
Yeah.
Find a good church. I was like, what does that mean? Yeah. If I'm undiscerning and I don't even know the Bible, how can I even test one and find one?
Yeah.
you know, it doesn't take long to realize that you need to find the one.
Yeah.
Body.
Most of these people, when they say that, that what they really mean is find one you like.
Yeah, exactly.
Your kids like it. Your wife likes it. You like it. The pastor's funny. They don't mean find a biblical church, because if they would, they'd tell you they don't exist.
Right. And you know what? They probably
want
you to find a good church and one that supports their ministry.
Right. And they
generally
they have a list of church finder, and they have all kinds of them on there. He used to be involved with Calvary Chapel, a train wreck church system. He goes on TBN with Kurt Cameron, another heretical man that sells the things of God and teaches a bunch of false doctrine. So watch out for these false teachers, and do not support them. Romans 16:17 says, mark them and avoid them.
Amen.
So we put that testing up. And it's good to have knowledge of some of these popular ones, because people often bring them up, and you can help them to get the truth and not be led astray by incomplete gospels that don't call you out of the world and don't call you to holiness and endurance. They just call you to, you know, you broke the law and Jesus died for you. So receive Jesus and you can have eternal life. That's like the easiest plan to heaven that the Bible doesn't teach anywhere.
Nope.
Christ said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, lose your life, strive, fight hard to enter into the kingdom of God. Ray Comfort says, just accept Jesus and pretty much sinner's prayers and just buy my books and you'll be okay. He's a false teacher.
Right.
So we did a testing on him. And what else, Sister Amin? What else is on your mind?
I have a scripture verse, but I think you have more than I do today.
Yeah, no, you can read your scripture verse, because I just have a topic after this with a scripture verse. So go ahead.
Oh, okay.
I want to talk about what the brother's call was mostly consumed with today.
Okay.
We'll talk about that, but go ahead.
I have 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And this is how we want to be found.
I like that.
Without spot and blameless.
Without spot, blameless, that would mean that we're worthy. Not worthy of what Christ did for us and salvation on our own. We're worthy of what God's called us to do in the covenant.
Amen.
That's how we're blameless.
I want to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
So last thing I had was, we got on a brother's call today, and a brother up in Canada ran into a false teacher who then kind of brushed him off, and then this false teacher emailed him, and the false teacher made the comment, and I don't even want to go into his comment, he was very confusing about it, but it had to do with two natures. And we went into a big, long conversation with the brothers. And all I want to share with you is, we'll probably do a teaching on this sometime, but man does have two natures. And the two natures are this. We have a fallen carnal nature that we never will get rid of this side of heaven, but we can kill that flesh man. We can starve him out. We can weaken him. We cannot give in to him through obedience. Or if we follow him in sin, then we're in unrighteousness. And then you have the new spirit man, which is the new creation that God did in you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so you have a fallen man, you have a new spirit man, the new creation, the new heart. And then you have the Holy Spirit in you that's leading you in the spirit for that spirit man to rise up, helping you to put down the flesh man. So we came to that discussion and we talked about the two natures. And it's pretty clear in scripture. I just want to read this one scripture as we close out, that we do have two natures. We have the fallen man. Paul talks about it in Romans 7. The Bible talks about it in many places. Through Adam, sin came into the world, and through Christ, through Adam, one man, sin came into the world, and through one man, God dealt with sin. But the whole idea of having the second nature, you have a fallen nature, and then you have a spirit nature. We get the divine nature of God. Ready? 2 Peter 1:1-4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained the precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power, hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, right here, whereby he is giving us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. that is in the world through lust. So the Bible does teach us that we get to partake in the divine nature of God. That's the new creation he gives us at the gospel when we're born from above, and then the Holy Spirit works in us. And so we had a big discussion about that. A lot of good things were covered, and it's good to go through these things. One thing be aware of, be warned about. False teachers will bring up false doctrine. And be careful when you go to the Word of God. Don't bring their false doctrine to the Word of God and try to find it, verify it, and all this. No, put away whatever they told you. Go to the Bible, God's Word about a topic. Figure the truth out about the topic. And then go back to the false teacher to refute him and do it that way. What happens, Sister Amen, if you allow his false teaching to stick to you as you go to the Word of God? What's a good chance is going to happen?
It causes confusion, yep. Confounding. And yep. Yeah.
You start putting his preconceived notions into the so-called or into the truth of God, making it a so-called doctrine when it's not a doctrine at all. And so you have to be careful of that. And I think that can happen to a lot of people. They listen to people. People tell them a lie and they go, oh, no, no. And they go to the Bible and they start trying to look for this lie rather than looking for what God's Word says.
Right.
So it's a really important concept.
Yeah, it can be confusing then.
Yep. You got to make sure you separate false teachers' doctrine and go and look and get the doctrine from God's Word. Because then you're in the danger of, ready? You're in the danger of using eisegesis. I'm going to the Word of God to prove something that either I said or a false teacher said, versus going to the Word of God to what? Exit the truth from God's Word. Then once you have the truth, then you can easily refute things that aren't in line with Scripture.
Right. Amen.
Does that make sense, Sister Robin?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So any thoughts on that? You listened to that whole conversation. Any thoughts on that about the two natures?
Yeah, I thought it was a really interesting concept. And the more it was talked about, the more depth and different angles of understanding it came out from different views or different ways of saying it. So it kind of made it go deeper within you to understand. I don't even want to go into what...
We started talking about the mind of Christ. Yeah, and we started talking about how we kill the flesh and then how... when we die or when the rapture happens, and it's not a pre-trib rapture, it's the end of the tribulation, that we're going to be transformed, and then we get rid of that flesh part of us, and we're going to be totally transformed and be made like him. So we started talking about a lot of deep stuff, but it all comes from this idea that we do have two natures, and so we got to make sure that we feed the spirit man by the Holy Spirit, and we want to starve out the carnal fallen man. And that's how you can become strong over time, working your way to be worthy for the calling and to be perfected. That's sanctification.
I want that.
Yeah. Anything else, Sister Amen?
Well, I say it every night, but I mean it.
What
do you
mean?
And hugs to my sisters and love to the brethren. And I hope everybody's standing strong and holding fast and looking up and
it's glorious.
Pressing on and striving and being salt and light.
Amen. It's glorious to know
all of that.
Saints that are striving. And tomorrow we roll to a new town and we're going to start working our way down to another preach this weekend, Lord willing.
Yeah, we'll
It's further south. And I think if everything works out okay, we got some brothers joining us once again.
Let's see. I hope so.
So that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
And so we'll be headed down there, doing some witnessing on the way, doing some online ministry on the way. So lots more coming up in this beautiful fall season as we're working our way south, doing festivals, preaching as we go. So we're excited about what God has before us, and we're excited about what we see him doing in God's people, how he knits us together, is growing people up, young and the old, and he's doing a work in us all.
Yeah, I love seeing people's lives as they grow and learn, and even coming across to, witnessing situations and stuff. It causes a lot of more talks and depth, and it's pretty awesome. We learn so much.
Amen. Amen. So we're looking forward to it, and let us know how we can help you. We're always pouring out more at our website, and shoot us an email if we can ever help you go deep in the faith. Well, they always start with the gospel and then work our way out from there. That's our foundation. Christ, Ephesians 2:20, is the cornerstone, and then the apostles and prophets' doctrines that we build upon that God gave them, and that's how we want to build our lives so we end up a fit house of the Lord, living stones built one brick, one rock at a time.
I want that.
Working on the principles of God. And we can all hold each other in place.
Right.
Yeah.
But you got to want to be held in place.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to leave right there. We love you all. Let us know how we can help you. Keep your eyes on the kingdom of God. It's coming one day in power and in glory.
Yeah.
Don't be like one of the five virgins and miss out. Make sure you work hard to have oil in your lamps.
And prepare to meet thy God.
Amen. Good word, Sister Amen. Love you all. God be praised.